so, Lord. Well, we're continuing in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and we are ready to start with the 17th verse. And as I mentioned to you last week, this whole chapter, it would be ideal to give it all at one sitting, but we would be here for hours. I'm going to try to keep us focused on the chapter as a whole as we start with the 17th verse. I'm just going to read the 17th verse first, and then I'm going to go back and point out a few things. Paul says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds." So he says, this I, Paul, say therefore. When you see a therefore, it's referring to what went before. It's in view of the truths he has already written to them. And he says, therefore, I testify in the Lord that ye, remember what I said and he says ye? He's talking to the Gentiles. And he says, they walk in the vanity of their mind. That means emptiness of their mind. Chapter 2 and verse 2 tells us just how they walked before when they were unbelievers. It says in 2:2, it says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. You know who that is? Satan. Well, but now he's saying to them, you're now a new creation. Don't walk like you walked before. That's the message he's speaking to the Gentiles there. All right, verse 18 and 19. Having the understanding darkened. See, now we're in these two verses here. It gives the state of the sinner. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Christ through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Yes, with greediness. So here's the dark, dismal picture of fallen man. And it's both Jew and Gentile, of course. Romans 3:10 says, there's none righteous, no, not one. But Paul, he is addressing the Gentiles here because this assembly of the Ephesian assembly was predominantly Gentile. That doesn't mean there wasn't some Jews there, but there was predominantly Gentile. And Paul's calling was to minister to the Gentiles. And we know by Romans, the first chapter and verse 21, that man deliberately went away from God. It's very interesting when you read this. Chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. In other words, they were dead in trespasses and sins, dead spiritually. And rejected light does increase ignorance and blindness. And what happens to the heart? It becomes hardened. Past feeling, that's what that means. Past feeling, hardened. Now, that was true in Paul's day. It's more so true today. We find in this fourth chapter what is Paul's chief concern. It is the saints' attitude toward God and toward one another. In the very first verse, he says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye were called. Verse 3 and verse 13, to keep the unity of the Spirit and the unity of the faith. And we read also, speaking the truth in love, bearing one another in love, building up one another in love. You know, the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit, they operate in the new creation life of Christ. Not in the old creation. In the new creation life of Christ. And for what reason did we read in this chapter? That we may grow up into Christ in all things. And the fundamental truth of walking worthy in this life is to put off the old man and to put on the new man. Verse 20 and verse 21. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. In other words, all truth is found in Jesus. Verse 22 through 24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, by putting on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. And this is also clearly stated in the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. There we read, lie not one to another, see that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, someone might say, how do we put off the old man? Count him dead. Because God does. God counts him dead. Romans 6 and verse 6 and 7 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. See, if we count like God counts, a dead man's free from sin. Count him dead. Now, this is where faith comes in. We believe what God says. He tells us that the old man died with Christ. It's because Christ was taking our place, the place that we deserved, but he took our place. And so the old man, God counts as dead. Romans says, reckon ye also. In other words, agree with God. Believe him. And we are admonished to put away his old habits. Not just counting him dead, but putting away his old habits. And what? Put on the new man. Romans 6:5 says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Praise the Lord. And verse 11 and 12 of Romans 6 says, likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but reckon yourselves to be alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Isn't it good to compare scripture with scripture? Scripture, comparing scripture with scripture just backs up the scripture. We are a new creation in Christ. And because we are a new creation, we're in a new realm, a spiritual realm. Christ is our Lord. Christ is our head. And our daily life should agree with our profession of Him. Amen? Do you agree with that? Our daily life should agree with our profession of Him. In other words, we yield our will to Him. And we let Him rule in our life in righteousness and true holiness. Now, in the following verses that we're going to read, we're going to read instruction concerning the old nature, not to do the deeds of the old nature. And we also read the let us. Jack had a sermon on the lettuce of the scripture. Yes, and that let us is the new of the new creation, the new life. So what we're going to read, the positive is set over against the negative. And it unquestionably declares the fact of the two natures in the believer. Oh, what victory there would be in believers today if they just believed and realized that they have two natures. And also, as we read these scriptures, we know it proves that the old man was not taken out root and branch. As the Lord was bringing my grandmother along in her earlier days, and she was seeking the Lord and His will concerning her, she did, for at one time, was with a group that I think they called it the Second Work of Grace or something like that. Anyway, that when you got that Second Work of Grace at the altar, you wasn't going to do any sin from then on. Well, she said she went to the altar and she had a wonderful experience with the Lord. And she said, that week I lost my temper. She said, I'm not sanctified. You know, they was saying that you're sanctified, never go to sin again. So the Lord was just teaching her, bringing her along, and He brought her then into another, where she got more light, and then another until she got more light. Praise the Lord. She was with Amy McPherson for a while, a wonderful evangelist in the Kansas City, Kansas area. And she, there was many people saved under her ministry, but then the Lord brought her into Sister Bodie's ministry, to the deeper things. The Lord just was bringing her along. Well, the old sinful deeds are possible in saints. Why? Because sin is in the flesh. And we find that out in Romans 7. I'm not going to read that whole chapter to you. But Paul tells of his struggles there, of the sin in the flesh. But we are not to let sin reign in our lives. Romans 6, verses 12 and 13 says, let not, what does that mean? Yield. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Praise the Lord. The choice is ours. He's not going to force you. The choice is ours. Are we going to keep yielding to the old deeds of the old man, to the old nature? Or are we going to yield to the new nature and let Christ rule in our lives? The choice is ours. Verse 25. As I said, we're going to read these knots and let us. Verse 25. Therefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Well, we know the devil is a liar from the beginning. From the very beginning of a man here on the earth, he was a liar. He lied to Eve. And Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. And he has inoculated us with that lying nature. You even see it in little children, that lying nature. Well, to lie to our neighbor is lying to ourselves, because we are members one of another. Yield your members to God and speak the truth to your neighbor. John 8:32 says, the truth makes man free. Let's go on to verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, the Revised Version has, for the phrase, be ye angry, it says, stand in awe. So you could read it, stand in awe and sin not. And there is a well-grounded hatred of evil and wrongdoing. Jesus, in Mark 3:5, it says, Jesus looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. But even concerning us, even in holy indignation, we must not let it burn into bitterness and sinfulness. That is giving way to Satan. Says, let not the sun go down upon your our wrath. Verse 27 and verse 28. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, the teaching here is not repairing the wrongs of the past. Some would have you believe that, but that's not the teaching here at all. It just says, do not continue in them. And rather, to labor with our hands, that which is good. And then the laboring is not to enrich ourselves. Sometimes that's the goal of a lot of people. I know one member of the family that I know of, he spent his life, seemed like, trying to mass up wealth. It's not to enrich ourselves, but to relieve the suffering. Verse 29, let not communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, let not evil speech come from our mouth. There's an interesting verse in Proverbs 30:32. It says, if thou hast an evil thought, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. Well, we are not responsible for evil thoughts, but we are responsible to entertain by entertaining them and speaking them, voicing them. But let us speak that which is edifying. In other words, that will profit others. look to the Lord. Let him use us to speak that which will build up others. Yes. Here's that yielding. Yes. Yield. Look to him. And he can use us to be a prophet to others. We can minister grace by our daily walk. Now the phrase, the day of redemption, I want to say a few words on that. To get light on that, we consider Romans 8:23. And it's there we read, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption or sonship, to wit, the redemption of our body. You see, the full fruitage of our redemption will be the resurrection and the translation of the body. Christ died to save the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. And that's the day when we realize redemption of the body. You know, redemption means a loosening away, a release on payment of ransom. Our glorified body will be the final result unto us of Christ's redemption. We will be loosed away from all sin, from death and disease, forever to be with our Redeemer. Praise the Lord. What a day, what a day. Well, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That day, when we receive our glorified body. Now, to neglect these admonitions that we've been reading here this morning, walking after the flesh, that does grieve the Holy Spirit. What does it say? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. This is simply, in this one verse, is summing up what we've had in verse 25 through 30. And it is, someone might say, is it possible for saints to need these exhortations? Oh, yes. Yes. Even Spirit-filled folks. For the Holy Spirit faithfully shows us the character of our old creation. Have you had the experience? I have. It's an ugly sight. A very ugly sight. And the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes to what is in that old nature. And then war arises between the two natures. We read in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. And that ye be not, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. That's what you read in the seventh chapter of Romans. Paul tells of his experience. It was a, you know, war. Real war. I bet you've experienced it too. I know I have. Well, the way of victory is found in Romans 8. In Jesus. Praise the Lord. In him all is all truth. Praise the Lord. In him is our victory. You know, we can know the theory of victory when we read chapter 6. Yes, we can know that theory. That's not enough. That's not enough. We must agree with God In other words, believe what he has said and yield. We must judge our flesh by the word of God and yield to that new creation life of Christ that is within us, walking practically in the Spirit. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Yes. Yielding to the Holy Spirit, he will enable us to be tender-hearted and forgiving toward our brethren. I've been learning that a long time. I don't know about you. I had to forgive my own father. I don't know about you, what you have to forgive and be tender-hearted. But the Holy Spirit shows us what's in our old nature. So we'll be in a horror of it. And when we consider God's motive of forgiveness for Christ's sake, it gives a reality to our forgiveness and forgetting as well as forgetting. Do we not read, God cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness? Selah. Think on that. Think on that. He has cast it into the sea of forgetfulness and hath forgiven us. Let's sing a song.